Morning, everyone. Today's daf is B'Metzia, daf Chav Ches. We are holding at the bottom of daf Chav Ches Amar Aleph, I believe the last line, right? That's what you guys said, Ad Kan Lo Pligi. The Gemara today on Amar Aleph is first going to discuss a machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Yosef about the status of somebody who's watching a lost item, whether they're considered like a Shomer Chinam, whether they're considered like a Shomer Sachar. That's going to be related to the discussion that was at the end of the Mishnah that we saw yesterday. And then the Gemara on Amar Beis is going to discuss what you're supposed to do with various items that you're watching while you're watching them and waiting for the person to claim them or to return it to the person who owns them, how you're supposed to use them to make sure they don't deteriorate. So the Mishnah had concluded with a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva about, let's say a person is watching an item and they sell the item to attain coins, value, money. That's the worth of the item. And now they're holding on to the money and they're going to return the money to the person. So are they allowed to use that money in the meantime and just pay back some other money, some different money, to replace the item that they had to sell because they can no longer watch it? So Rabbi Tarfon assumes that you can use the money, and therefore if the money is lost, you're responsible for their loss. But according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not allowed to use the money, and therefore if the money is lost, you're not going to be chayav b'achrei yusan. You're not going to be responsible for the money being lost. So that's where the Gemara picks up with this machlokas. And the Gemara says at the bottom of Chav Ches Amar Beis, Ad Kan lo pligi, ela kishenishtamesh behen. The whole machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is only if you actually use the money that you acquired for selling the item. So you're holding on to the money, and the machlokas, whether you're going to be responsible for their loss, is only if you use the money. Avalonishtamesh behen im avdu pater. But it seems like everybody would agree, both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, that if you don't use the money, then if the money is lost, you'd be exempt. You'd be patri, you wouldn't be responsible for that money. So the Gemara says, Lema tehavi tiyufta de Rav Yosef. Maybe the fact that Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva agree, so long as you don't use the money, you're for sure exempt. Maybe that would refute Rav Yosef.
Hello? Hello?
Sorry?
Yeah, okay. We missed a few minutes.
Should we go back?
That's okay.
Okay, so I guess we'll continue on.
Top of the page.
Again, just to review for those who are not on the Zoom for 1 second, all we're saying is that this machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, is whether you're going to be responsible for the loss of the money is only if you actually use the money. But if you don't use the money, everybody would agree that if the money is lost, you'd be exempt. You would not be responsible for the loss of the money. So maybe that's against Rav Yosef, says Gemara. Lema tehavi tiyufta de Rav Yosef. Maybe that refutes Rav Yosef. Deemar, because we have a machlokas, a shomer aveda, someone who's watching an item that was lost, what exactly is his status? So Rabba amar kishomer chinam. Rabba assumes that he's like an unpaid watchman, and he'd only be chayav in pshia, but he would not be chayav, he'd only be chayav for negligence, but if the item were to be lost or to be stolen, he would not be responsible. And Rav Yosef amar kishomer sachar. Rav Yosef assumes that someone who's watching a lost item is like a Shomer Sachar. He's like a paid watchman. So how exactly is he like a paid watchman? So this is where the discussion comes up, what's referred to in Shas as the Pruta de Rav Yosef, the coiner of Yosef. What exactly does that mean? Rav Yosef assumes, I think really everybody assumes, that someone who's watching an item is considered an Oseik B'mitzvah. He's considered someone who's doing a mitzvah. How do we know that? Because the Torah tells us that if you don't know your friend, if you don't know your friend, he's not close to you, then you should take in his lost item into your house, and it should remain with you until your friend seeks it out, and you should return it to him. So the Torah commands us that if we don't know to whom to return a lost item, we have to take it into our possession and watch it. So seemingly everybody would agree that someone who's watching an item is an Oseik B'mitzvah. The question is, are you also then exempt Ha'Oseik B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah from the following case? According to Rav Yosef, if a poor person were to come to you and ask for tzedakah, you would be exempt from giving him any tzedakah because you're considered Oseik B'mitzvah, because you're considered engaged in another mitzvah, and that exempts you from performing another mitzvah. So according to Rav Yosef, the pruta, the coin that you would have to give the ani, if you were not engaged in watching an aveda, which you're now exempt from because you're oseik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, because you're engaged in the mitzvah of watching the item, is treated like wages that you're receiving for watching that item. And that makes you like a shomer sachar. Rashi points this out. We could see, kishomer sachar, it's like the fourth Rashi on the page, V'chaya b'gneva v'aveda. Since you're like a paid watchman, you're going to be obligated for any theft or the loss of the item. And why are you like a paid watchman? The Shomer Sachar mitzvah hu da'osei b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. You're basically considered to be earning the wages of the mitzvah, of the tzedakah that you'd be exempt from, the pruta de Rabbi Yosef. So this is a machlokas, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, about the status of a shomer aveda, the status of somebody watching a lost item. What does this have to do with this machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? So what we're saying is, according to Rabbi Yosef, even if you're just watching the item itself, and for sure if you're watching the value, the coins that you received when you sold the item, you're going to be responsible for gneva v'aveda. You're going to be responsible for the item if it was lost. But we just pointed out that according to both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, if you haven't used the item, you're for sure not obligated if the item is lost. You sold the item to receive money for it, and there's a machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva whether you're responsible for the loss of those coins. But the Gemara pointed out that that's only if you're using those coins. If you're not using those coins, then everybody would agree that you're not responsible for the loss of the item. So that seems to be directly against Rabbi Yosef, who assumes you're for sure responsible for the loss of that item. If you're treated like a shomer sachar, if you're treated like a paid watchman, you're going to be chayv in gneva v'aveda, you're going to be chayv when the item is lost or stolen. And thus, Rabbi Yosef seems to be completely refuted by both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon.
Yeah, if you're using the money, it's already gone. You know, the fact that someone stole money from you later, other money, or the fact that you lost some money, can't be traced back to the money that you used. What would be the havamina that you should be put in?
Right, you're saying, according to... Right. So I guess, let's say, according to Rabbi Tarfon, it sounds like you're asking.
Yeah,
Rabbi Tarfon said you can use the item, you can use the coins, so if they're lost, you're chayev. But of course you're chayev, you've used the money already.
But of course they're lost.
Right.
That money's gone.
Yeah.
If later on some other money of yours gets stolen, you can't connect that money to the money that you used.
Right.
That's different. That's another case.
Yeah. So the Gemara is going to discuss this lafikach of Rabbi Tarfon and this lafikach of Rabbi Akiva and sort of explain what exactly they were saying, with that therefore you're obligated or therefore you're not obligated. I think maybe we could come back to your question and see if it's addressed by those lafikachs.
Even if you don't, if you can use the money, even if you didn't use it and it was stolen, you're still your chayiv.
Oh, if you can use the money.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that would also be
true. You can use the money.
Right. Yeah, so that seems to be what's going on, is the lefikach, that therefore that you're obligated, is not when you use it. It's saying because you have the ability to use it, then you would be obligated. But how does that fit with the Gemara, Rudy? Because the Gemara says, lo nishtamish behen, you'd be pater. If you didn't use them, even according to Rabbi Tarfon, if you didn't use them, then you're for sure exempt.
You'd have to say, lo nishtamish behen means if you can't use them.
Yeah, but I don't think that's not the issue.
See, nishtamish, lav dafke, elmshim, schar shimush. Look at the Rashi.
Right, you're right. Yeah. She nishtamish, lav dafke, elmshim, schar shimush, kamer, mdeisha, mutter,
lishtamish.
Right. But so, good. So the machlokas is only about your ability to use them. Right. So yeah, I think that would be the issue. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, because you can use them, then you're responsible if they became lost. Of course, if you use them, then they're already lost, and you would have to pay back for them. That's obvious. But even if you didn't use them, because you have the ability to use them, then you're going to be responsible for their loss. I think that's correct. Yeah. Good. So we seem to have refuted Rabbi Yosef. It sounds like you're not Kishomer Sachar. So how is Rabbi Yosef going to respond to this point that's brought out from the Machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva? Amar lecha Rabbi Yosef, b'gneva v'aveda dekule ama lo pligi d'chayev. Says Rabbi Yosef, no, you totally misunderstood. Really, if the item were to be lost or stolen, both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva would agree that you'd be chayev. And that's exactly like me, Rabbi Yosef, who assumes that someone who's watching an item is like a Shomer Sachar, like a paid watchman. We know a paid watchman is chayev in gneva v'aveda. So it fits perfectly because both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva would agree that that's true. Ki pligi be'onsin deshoa. The whole machlokas, the whole debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is just about whether you should be chayav if something against your will, something that's an ones happens to the item, like a shoel would be responsible even for onsin. Rabbi Tarfon sabar shorele rabbanon ishtemushe begafayhu v'havele shoelayhu. Rabbi Tarfon assumes that the Rabbanan allow you to use these coins, right? That's the mutter, your yishtamish bahen. You have permission to use the coins. Since the Rabbanan allow you to use these coins, b'havale shoel alayhu, that makes you like a borrower on those coins. And therefore, if an onus happens, if something that was out of your control happens to the coins, you would be responsible because you're treated like a borrower. Rabbi Akiva savar lo shavar le rabbanim lishtemusha begavayu hilkach lo havishol halavayu. Rabbi Akiva assumes that the rabbanim do not give you permission to use these coins, and therefore you would not be treated like a shoel on these coins. So Rabbi Yosef is able to get out of this question, at least initially, by saying that really everybody agrees to his position that you're treated like a shomer sachar, you're going to be chayv for gnim of aveda, and the whole debate is whether you also have some status as a borrower, as a shoel, which would make you obligated in onsen. For Rabbi Tarfon, yes. For Rabbi Akiva, no. So ask the Gemara, I hachi lefikach damar Rabbi Akiva lamali. According to what you're saying, that all Rabbi Akiva is trying to tell you is that you're exempt from onsen, you're not treated like a shoel, you're exempt from anything that would happen against your will, but you are obligated in gnim of aveda. How do you explain the statement of Lefikach, the therefore of Rabbi Akiva? I think Gemara is going to have a long discussion. It's going to take a few lines to clarify this Lefikach. But let's just see this Rashi, just for further elucidation before we get into that. My Lefikach to Rabbi Akiva, Kevan de'amar lo yishtamesh, since Rabbi Akiva says that you cannot use these coins, Mehecha tesek adaitin l'chiyuve, de'itzrich l'meimar eino chayav. Why would we even think that there'd be any reason to obligate this person if he has no permission to use the coins, such that we need to tell you, therefore, you're not exempt? So now the Gemara is going to clarify what it means by this question of Lefikach. Iyamar bishlama b'gneva v'aveda hu depligi, if you say correctly, against Rabbi Yosef, like we were trying to say initially, that the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, based on the permission to use the item, is about gneva and aveda, is about a case where the item is lost or stolen. Hainu diktani Rabbi Akiva Omer lo yishtamish bahen lefikach im avdu eno chayav b'achareyusan. Based on that understanding that they're arguing about gneva v'aveda, we could explain the statement of Rabbi Akiva, who says that you cannot use the coins, and therefore if the coins are lost, you would not be responsible for their loss. And what exactly does that mean? Salka daitach amina shomer sachar havi kider Rav Yosef. You may have thought that you would be treated like a paid watchman, like Rav Yosef, and you would be obligated if the item was lost or stolen. Kamash malan lefikach. Therefore, the Mishnah Rabbi Akiva tells us the lefikach. The therefore that hashta de'amarta lo yishtamish bahen. Since you've told me that you're not allowed to use the coins according to Rabbi Akiva, shomer sachar lo havi, then you're for sure not treated like a pay watchman because you're not allowed to use the coins. Velo mechayev b'gneva v'aveda, and you're not responsible for the loss or theft of the item. El iamar b'gneva v'aveda de kule amalo pligi de chayev, if according to you, Rabbi Yosef, everybody, both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, agree that you're going to be responsible for the loss or the theft of the item, and ki pligi be'onsin de shoel, and the whole machlokas is just about something that happens against your will, and whether you're responsible for that, like a borrower, according to Rabbi Tarfon, yes, according to Rabbi Akiva, no. My lefikach to Rabbi Akiva. What's the lefikach? What's the therefore of Rabbi Akiva? Hachim b'ayalei lemisne. Rabbi Akiva should have taught his statement as follows, that Rabbi Akiva omer lo yishtamish bahen. Just tell me that Rabbi Akiva says you're not allowed to use the coins. The ana yadana dekeim de lo yishtamish bahen, lav shoel havi ve'enu chayav b'achrayusan. And I would know right away that since, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not allowed to use the coins, you're not treated like a borrower, and you're not responsible for their loss. So why does Rabbi Akiva have this whole lefikach? Lefikach to Rabbi Akiva lamali. Why do I need this statement of lefikach, this statement of therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva? So we're going back and forth trying to bring a refutation of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef initially defended himself by saying that b'gneva v'aveda, when the item is lost or stolen, everybody would agree that you're responsible, and thus he's not refuted, and the whole debate is just about the onsen de shoel, about if something happens against your will, whether you should be responsible for that like a borrower. But the Gemara is now saying that makes it really hard to understand the lefikach of Rabbi Akiva, so how do you defend yourself, Rabbi Yosef? So says Rabbi Yosef, Mishum lefikach Rabbi Tarfon. The only reason we have a lefikach according to Rabbi Akiva, even though seemingly it's not necessary, it doesn't make any sense what it's doing here, the only reason we have that is for parallel structure. Because according to Rabbi Tarfon, we have this statement of Lefikach, which is apparently needed. The Gemara is going to get to that in 1 second. Because we have this Lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon, which is apparently needed, we also have a Lefikach, a parallel Lefikach, according to Rabbi Akiva, even though it's not needed. So ask the Gemara, Lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon, why do you need the Lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon? You're telling me the whole reason for the Lefikach of Rabbi Akiva is because Rabbi Tarfon has a Lefikach, but then you better justify why Rabbi Tarfon has a Lefikach. So answers the Gemara, Hachi Kamar. Haven the Sharulay Rabbanan Ishtamusha Bikavayu, Kemande Ishtamish Bikavayu Dami, V'chayav ba'achareyus. And here's sort of the resolution that we were speaking about before, according for Moshe and for Rudy, that the lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon is as follows. What Rabbi Tarfon was saying, where he says, you're allowed to use the coins, and the fikach, im avdu, chayav ba'achareyus, therefore, if the coins are lost, you're responsible, means that since the Rabbanan allowed you to use the coins, kevan d'shar le Rabbanan d'ishtamush b'gavayu, it's treated as if, keman d'ishtamush b'gavayu dami, it's treated as if you've already used the coins, even if you haven't used the coins, v'chayav b'achreyusan. And you're therefore going to be responsible for the loss of the coins. So Rav Yosef is able to explain himself that really the machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is all about onsen, when something happens against your will. And even though that makes the lefikach of Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, a little bit hard to understand, it's only there to parallel Rabbi Tarfon's lefikach, which Rabbi Yosef explains is actually needed. So now Rabbi Yosef has mostly defended himself, but Gemara has one final kasha on Rabbi Yosef. V'ha'avdu katani. How can you tell me that the whole machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is about a case of onsen, about a case where something happens against the will of the person who's watching the coins of the Aveda? The Mishnah says, im avdu, lefikach im avdu, if the item is lost. That sounds like the item is just lost. It's not an ones per se, but it's something that just happened. It's just a loss. So how could you tell me that it means an ones? It means that something happened against your will. So answers Rav Yosef, it's going to be kidderaba. I'll explain that the language of avdu really does mean ones, and that's like the following statement of Rabba. Amar Rabba, nignivu belistim mizuyim. When we talk about theft, this is coming from later on in the Masechta, by the people who sent their machtzis shekel, sort of in Yana Bioma, where if the machtzis shekel became stolen, according to Rabba, we assume what that means is belistim mizuyin, that they were stolen by armed robbers, by armed bandits who are treated as an ones. It's something that's against the person's will. There's nothing you could do about it because they get up with their weapons and they try to steal it from you. So that's considered an ones. And avdu, when we refer to those machtzis shekel over there in the sugya later on above Metzia as being lost, that's referring to shetava svinaso bayam. That's referring to a case where the boat on which the machtzis shekel, or the people carrying the machtzis shekel were traveling, drowned in the sea. That type of avdu, what we're talking about when we say that the machtzis shekel was lost, is really a type of ones that the boat drowned in the sea. So you see clearly from the statement of Rabba that avdu, that an item being lost, can really refer to an ones, can really refer to something happening against your will. And thus, Rav Yosef is not completely crazy, or not crazy at all, really, for saying that when we say in the Mishnah, avdu, lefikachim avdu, chayav b'achrayus, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, and according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not responsible, that that really refers to an ones, because we do find precedent for the language of avdu, the language of being lost, referring to something happening against your will. So ultimately, Rav Yosef seems to be able to defend himself from these questions. We tried bringing a refutation from the debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. It sounded like neither opinion holds that you're like a Shomer Sachar, and thus Rabbi Yosef would be refuted. But ultimately, Rabbi Yosef is able to defend himself. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halachik Rabbi Tarfon. Says Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, we paskin like Rabbi Tarfon in this machlokas. We're going to assume if you're watching the coins that you acquired for selling an item that you were watching, that you do have permission to use them, and also you're going to be responsible if those coins are lost. So in the next Gemara, we have that Biyad Rechava, or I think another Girsa has that it should be Bey Rechava, that the house of Rechava, Havale Hanu Zuzi Diatami. In the hands of Rechava, in the house of Rechava, they had the coins of Yatomim, and Lechora, we're talking about coins that are actual coins. They're not coins that were received for selling a lost item, but they're coins that technically actually belong to these orphans. So, Atal Kamed Rav Yosef, Rechava came to Rav Yosef, Amar Le, Ma'ol Yishtemusha B'Gavayu, and he asked, can I use these coins that belong to the orphans? So, Amar Le, Rav Yosef responds to Rechava and says, Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbi Tarfon. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel told us that the Halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon, that you are allowed to use coins that you receive for selling a lost item, and thus, presumably, you'd be allowed to use these coins of the atonement. That's the assumption so far. But Amr le Abaye then says to Rav Yosef, "Belav imar Allah, Amr Bichelba, Amr Rav Huna." Wasn't it said about that statement that we paskin like Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Chelbo, in the name of Rav Huna, said that Lo Shanu El Bidmei Aveda. It's only true that we paskin like Rabbi Tarfon that you can use the coins when it comes to the coins that you receive for selling a lost item. Holo v'tarachba, since you were trying to hold on to the item for as long as you could until your friend would come and seek out that item. But then, as we stated in the Mishnah from yesterday, that once the time frame passes where you're no longer responsible to watch the item, what you're supposed to do is sell the item and hold on to the coins. So Rav Chelba, Rav Huna, says you're only allowed to use the coins like Rabbi Tarfon. We only paskin like Rabbi Tarfon when dealing with the coins that were received for selling an Aveda. Ha'ovatarachba, since you worked so hard to watch this item for the requisite time frame and then to sell the item and receive coins. Avalmos Aveda, coins that were actually lost, coins which belong to somebody else, like these coins of the Atomim, delo tarach behulo, which you haven't worked for, you haven't done anything in dealing with these coins, you would not be allowed to use those coins like Rabbi Tarfon. Bahani kemos aveda damu. And these coins of the Atomim are seemingly treated like coins that were lost. They don't seem to be treated like coins which were received for selling an item, because as far as we know, these are just coins which belong to the Atomim, whether they were lost or not, but Rechava is holding on to them. If they're just coins that belong to the Atomim, then they're not like Dmei Aveda. They're not like coins which were received for selling something. You haven't done anything for them, and therefore, you should not be able to use these coins. So Amrlei Zil Lo Shavku Li Da'ashri Lach. So based on this question that Abaye posed, Rav Yosef, who initially paskin that the house of Rechava could use these coins of the Atomim like Rabbi Tarfon, then turns to Rechava and says, you should leave my presence, because they're not allowing me to permit you to use these coins like Rabbi Tarfon. Ultimately, Rabbi Yosef was Mekel initially, but Abaye brought this statement saying that this only applies, we only pass it in like Rabbi Tarfon by Dmei Aveda when you sell an item for coins, but not when you find coins, or not when you're holding on to coins that rightfully belong to other people, and therefore the house of Rechava does not get a heter to use these coins which belong to the Atonement.
It's worth mentioning that the Ozeh Mitzvah Patan Mitzvah of Pruta to Rabbi Yosef is only applicable to that time frame in which he's physically occupied with the Aveda, in keeping the Aveda. Once he's put it away in a safe place, once that's locked away, you can't say that it's part of him giving an Ani Pruta when every time an Ani knocks in the 3 or 4 months that he holds the Aveda.
Right.
It's only when he's
yeah.
So doing something with the Aveda to keep it safe that he's part of an Amitzvah.
Right. So what Moshe's referencing is that in the Sugya of Osei B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, in the sugya about someone who's engaged in a mitzvah being exempt from other mitzvos, sukkah and daf chaf hei, brachas and daf yud aleph, there's a big machlokas in the Rishonim exactly what the parameters of that ptor is. I think there's like a three-way machlokas maybe between Rashi and Tosfos and the Ran, is that only if you can't perform the second mitzvah, but if you could perform the second mitzvah, then you'd be obligated to do both. For example, if you're wearing tzitzis, so you're engaged in a mitzvah, does that exempt you from having to do any other mitzvahs? So generally, we would assume no, since you can do other mitzvahs, why also wearing tzitzis, then you're obligated to do other mitzvahs. So what Moshe is saying is, so long as you're engaged in dealing with the coins in a serious way that prevents you from giving tzedakah to the ani, then you'd be exempt. But once it's locked away and you can easily fulfill both mitzvahs, so then of course you should be chayav, you should be obligated to give
but
the ani tzedakah.
Simultaneously, do you need two mitzvot at the same time? Or is it
yeah.
Well, yeah, so long as you're engaged still in the mitzvah, right. But only if it's in a way that prevents you from performing another mitzvah. Another example.
You have to be preoccupied.
Right. You have a mezuzah on your house, so you're always fulfilling the mitzvah mezuzah. Does that mean you're exempt from all of the mitzvahs? So no, we assume you can still perform other mitzvahs while you have the mezuzah on your house, and therefore that would not exempt you. We would not say, ha'osei b'mitzvah, patamir mitzvah. There. Good. So now we're up to the Mishnah, which discusses what to do with various items that are lost. Matzah svarim, if you find books, Sifrei Torah, other books, you're supposed to read from those books once every 30 days, because that's assumed to help the item maintain itself, to keep it from deteriorating. If you don't know how to read, and therefore you can't fulfill this requirement of reading once every 30 days, golalon. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to roll them, open them up, and close them. But you're not supposed to learn new things that you've never learned from the Svarim, because that's assumed to be a very preoccupying act. Rashi says, "Betchila to learn." This is the second Rashi in the Mishnah. To learn something, the third. To learn something that you've never learned before. Masha lo lama mibnei shetzarch lashoso lefanav. Since you're learning something new, you're going to have to keep it open for a long time, and therefore the sefer is going to deteriorate more. But lo yikra acher imo, you also shouldn't have somebody else read or learn with you, because then it's assumed that you're each going to be trying to learn a different part of the Torah, and you're going to be pulling on the different directions of the Torah, and that's going to cause the Torah to rip. Matzah ksus, let's say you find a garment, minara echa v'shloshim yom, v'shot chalitzorcha, if you find, avalo lichvoda, If you find a garment, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to shake it out once every 30 days also to help it avoid deteriorating. Bishod chalitzorka, you're allowed to spread it out in a way that's going to be beneficial for the garment, in a way that helps the garment. Avalolichfodo, you're not supposed to spread out the garment to honor yourself. Let's say you find some expensive suit, you're not supposed to hang up that garment in the front of your house and say, oh, look how expensive this suit is. I have this amazing suit in my house, which is going to, in theory, bring kavod to you. You're not supposed to do that. You're only supposed to spread out the garment if it's the tzorech of the garment. Let's say you find klei chesed v'klei nechoshet, mishtamesh behen letzorkan, avalo l'shachkan. If you find vessels of silver or of iron, or of copper rather, you are allowed to use them letzorkan. You're allowed to use them as much as you need them, but not in a way that they're going to erode. You're not allowed to use them in a way that they will deteriorate. Let's say you find vessels which are either glass or gold, then you're not supposed to touch them until Eliyahu comes, because it's assumed that you might break them. It's assumed that they don't need upkeep, they don't need to be used to prevent them from deteriorating, and thus you shouldn't use them. And lastly, the Mishnah concludes, if you find some sort of sackcloth, or you find like a basket, or anything which is not dark or little, this is anything which is assumed to be beneath your kavod, then you should not take them, or you're not obligated to take them. You're not obligated to wash these items. So the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what this case is dealing with, but this is what we refer to as zakein ve'eino l'fichvodo. That the Torah tells us, essentially, based on drashas, that if you have someone who's really old, who it's beneath him to go and take an item from somewhere that's disgusting or hold on to an item that's disgusting, he's not going to be obligated in the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, because we darshan, the way the Torah sets up the parameters of Hashavas Aveda, it says lo tire vehita lamta, that you're not supposed to see the item that belongs to your friend and ignore it and turn away from it. So what the Torah is really saying is don't turn away from it, but the Torah sets it up in a way that it's understood lo tire, don't see it and turn away from it. So the rabbis darshan vehita lamta, the fact that the Torah sets off this word turning away from it on the side in the positive. And what it's really saying is don't turn away, but the Torah phrased it in a way that it can be understood that you should turn away, is v'hitalamta pamim shetisalim, that there are times when you are able or are supposed to turn away from the item, and that would be in a case where it's beneath your dignity to go and seek that item.
Don't see it, but turn away.
Don't see it, but turn away.
What does that mean?
So literally what you mean, don't see it and turn away. But the rabbis dar, meaning rather than just saying don't turn away, the Torah says don't see it and turn away. So meaning, you shouldn't see the item and turn away. Rather, you should go towards the item and return it. Oh. But the rabbis understood the fact that it says don't see it and turn away. The fact that and turn away is set off to the side of the pasuk means sometimes you can understand it as vehitalamta. You should turn away. You actually should turn away from the item. And when would that be? That would be if it's a zakein ve'eino l'fichvodo, if it's beneath the dignity of the elder to go seek out that item. So essentially, the rule of the Mishnah is use the item in a way that will prevent it from deteriorating, but not in a way that will cause it to deteriorate. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Hamotzit Tfilin Bashuk, Sham Dimeyan Umanicha na Altar. Says Shmuel, if you find tfilin in the marketplace, what you're entitled to do with these tfilin is appraise them, assess the value of the tfilin, and then you could put the tfilin on right away. And when the person comes to claim his tfilin back from you, all you have to do is pay him the value of the tfilin, but you're allowed to keep the tfilin. You don't have to return the tfilin to him if you need tfilin. So Gemara asks, how could Shmuel tell us that you're allowed to just use the tfilin of a person if you find the item, and you'll just pay him back later? Masiv Ravina, Matzah Svarim, Kora Behen Echad L'Shloshim Yom. Our Mishnah told us that if you find books, you're supposed to read from them once every 30 days. V'imeinu Yodei Likros, Golalon. And if you don't know how to read the Sefer Torah, then you're supposed to roll it, you're supposed to open it up. But says the Gemara, we can infer from the Mishnah, that Golalon in Sham Demeinu Manichan Lo. That if you don't know how to read from the Sefer Torah, apparently what you're supposed to do is roll the Sefer Torah to keep it from deteriorating, but you're not allowed to assess the value of the Sefer Torah and just keep the Sefer Torah for yourself and pay back your friend when he comes to receive the item. So how could it possibly be, according to Shmuel, that if you find tefillin, you just assess their value and you keep the money, you keep the tefillin and you pay the money back later? It sounds like by Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to do that. So Amar Abaye, Tfilin be barchavu mishkach shchichi, svarim lo shchichi. Says Abaye, Tfilin are very available. They're very easy to find in the marketplace. And thus we assume your friend doesn't really care if you find his tefillin. He's more than happy to just take the value of the tefillin later on and go buy new tefillin. But to buy a new Sefer Torah is not such an easy thing. It's very difficult. As we know, writing a Sefer Torah, first of all, is very expensive. Second of all, it can take a long time. Usually it takes about a year, maybe more, maybe less in certain areas. It's not as easy to find as tefillin. So that's why this halacha is unique to tefillin. Shmuel is only telling us that by tefillin, you're allowed to wear the tefillin and pay back the value later. But don't bring me a question from the Mishnah, which is about Sefer Torah. They're not comparable. Tefillin are easy to find. Sefer Torah are not.
From here, you could deduce that you're allowed to use the money when you sell something. When you're selling a veda, you're allowed to use the money. Because it doesn't
say. From the tefillin case, you're saying.
Yeah, because it doesn't say that you have to set aside the money.
No, but here we're assuming this is unique halacha by tefillin.
He's essentially buying the tefillin.
He's essentially buying the tefillin.
And he can pay him later with whatever money he has.
Right.
That means he bought the tefillin. He didn't set aside any money.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. I hear that. The question is, though, that you're deducing from Shmuel, right, who's in Amora. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say, right, we always have that. Rabbi Akiva is a Tana. Everyone's a Tana. They're allowed to argue on something which is of later origin.
There's an Ein Mishpat Nei Mitzvah.
Right, there's an Ein Mishpat Nei Mitzvah. But Rabbi Akiva was before the Rambam also. So, I mean, yeah, so it's interesting. It would seem like, I guess, at least Lahalacha, you could say, you could deduce that Rabbi Tarfon is really correct. That's how we saw the Gemara already Paskin. The Gemara at the top of the Amud, Paskin, like Rabbi Tarfon. That you're allowed to use the Dhamim, so Shmuel is in accordance with that, as Moshe points out, 100%. Yeah. In Mishpat Ner Mitzvah would seemingly indicate the same. Yeah. Great. Says Gemara further, Tanar Banan, Hashol Sefer Torah Machadero, Harei Zeh, I lost my spot, Lo Yashi Lenu La'acher. If you borrow a Sefer Torah from your friend, you're not allowed to lend it to a different friend. The Gemara is going to have a whole discussion about all these statements in the Braisa, but the Braisa continues, Potcho B'korobo, Ovad Shalo Yilmod Bo Batchila. If you borrow the Sefer Torah from your friend, you're allowed to open it and read it, but you shouldn't learn something new in the Sefer Torah, as we saw before, because that could be bad for the Sefer Torah. You'll have it open for a long time as you learn something new, and that could cause the Sefer Torah to deteriorate. Velo yikra acher imo, you shouldn't have somebody else reading the Sefer Torah with you, because that could also lead to the Sefer Torah ripping if you're both pulling on the different directions of the Sefer Torah. V'chein ha-mafkid Sefer Torah etzel chaveiro go lelo kol shnimasar chodesh. And similarly, somebody who deposits a Sefer Torah, who gives a Sefer Torah to his friend to watch, should open it, should roll it every 12 months. Potcho v'korobo, you should open it and you should read from it. But in bishvilo potcho aser, if you opened it solely for yourself, that would be prohibited. So the Gemara is going to have to explain exactly what that means. We just said you could open it and read from it. And now we're saying that if you open it for yourself, that would be aser. So the Gemara is going to deal with that. Sumchas omer b'chadash lo shimiyom b'yashan shnimasar chodesh. Sumchas assumes if you have a new Sefer Torah, you should open it every 30 days. But if it's an old Sefer Torah, it doesn't need as much upkeep anymore, apparently. So then you should roll it once every 12 months. Or that would be more beneficial for the Sefer Torah. Once every 12 months, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer echad zeh ve'echad zeh shnimasar chodesh. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov assumes whether it's a new Sefer Torah or an old Sefer Torah, either way, it should be dealt with every 12 months. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this whole braisa.
It says the footnote says that a new one is more susceptible to having something going wrong with it than an older one.
Right, and that's why we need more upkeep. So it sounds like, right, rolling it every 30 days will help it avoid something negative happening. Whereas an old one, you assume, I guess, is more durable, it's been worn out, it's not as likely to rip, or whatever it is. So once every 12 months would be sufficient, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov thinks both every 12 months, fine. So now the Gemara wants to analyze that braisa. Amar mar, hashol sefer Torah mechavero, harei ze lo yashi lenu la'acher. We said in the braisa that if you borrow a sefer Torah from your friend, you shouldn't lend it to a different friend. So ask the Gemara, Ma'ir Yo Sefer Torah, Afilu Kol Milinami. Why are you telling me that if you borrow a Sefer Torah, you can't lend it to your friend? That's true by everything. The Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Kanshan Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish has this statement in Masechta Gittin, in the context of a get, based on a Mishnah, that Rebbe has told us in that Mishnah about get, whatever the context is there, Rashi explains, that Eina Sho'el Rashai L'Hashil, Ve'eina Socher Rashai L'Haskir. That Mishnah clearly indicates that a person who's borrowing something is not allowed to lend it to somebody else, and a person who's renting something is not allowed to rent it to somebody else. Right? So what the Mishnah was talking about there is when you send a shliach to receive a get for you, that if you, in theory, the shliach could appoint a new shliach to bring it, but if the person who sent you specifically asks you to get receive an item from the person who's sending you the get, then you can't appoint a new item. You can't appoint a new shliach to bring the get and to bring this other item, because we assume the person who sent you only wants his item to be in your hand. He doesn't want that item to be in somebody else's hand. But what you see from that Mishnah is the fact that somebody who borrows something is not allowed to lend it to somebody else. And therefore, why does our Braisa teach this halacha as being specifically about a Sefer Torah? It would seem to apply to any item. So answers Gemara, Sefer Torah is trinchalei. We specifically needed to know this halacha in the context of a Sefer Torah. Because ma'u detema, what might you think? Nechalei le'inish detiavid mitzvah b'mamone kamashmalan. You might think it's beneficial for a person to perform a mitzvah with their money, and therefore, if someone owns a Sefer Torah and they lend it to you, you might think they'd be okay with you lending it to somebody else, because that person will perform a mitzvah using the initial person's Sefer Torah, using the initial person's property. You might think that he would approve of that, kamash malan, that you're not allowed to do that. Kamash malan, that you're not allowed to lend out somebody else's Sefer Torah.
And why? Isn't it true?
Right. Yeah. So this is a whole discussion. Our Gemara seems to dismiss this concept of Necha Leila Enesh Lavin Mitzvah B'Mamoneh.
No, it seems like it's just by a Sefer Torah that this exception holds.
Right, so okay, let's at least say in this context, the Gemara seems to reject Necha Leila Enesh Lavin Mitzvah B'Mamoneh. In other contexts, the Gemara clearly assumes that Necha Leila Enesh Lavin Mitzvah B'Mamoneh. So there's a whole discussion in the back. I saw they quote a bunch of Marmakomas about this discussion. You have to figure out the different contexts and why it is that in some places we assume Nechalei Le'enesh Lavin Mitzvah B'Mamoneh, like you're referencing. Why is it in some places we assume this claw holds, and in other places we assume this claw does not hold?
If you need
so you
tefillin,
have to look into that.
If you need
tefillin, to
and you see a pair of tefillin and shul, you can put them on, because it's assumed that the owner of the tefillin would be more than okay with your...
And a lulav too, I guess.
Right.
Well, a lulav is a little bit more of a problem.
Yeah. Well, we could just be mekayim halacha of sholem v'dorshin b'inyan shel Pesach, according to Pesach shloshim yom. We speak about the halachas of Pesach within 30 days of the holiday. So the Gemara tells us in Pesachim on Daf Dalet that let's say a person is renting a house to somebody else for Pesach. We don't assume that the renter, the person who's renting out the house, has to pay the person who's going to be staying in the house for the value that it would cost him to search the house for chametz, to do the bedikas chametz. We assume the person who's going to be staying in the house, who's renting the house, is willing to pay for the value of the dmei bedika because of this concept. That nechalei le'enesh lavin mitzvah b'mamone, a person is more than happy to spend the money to perform the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. And there the Gemara assumes that this concept actually holds true. But in our context, we're assuming that it's not true. We're rejecting the context of the Sefer Torah. So how do you stem these two Gemaras? And that's why there's a whole discussion about this. If you look in the Shaar Ephraim, he has a whole discussion trying to differentiate between the two concepts.
That's a surprising statement, because the schir is kanya, we say. When you rent a house, the renter becomes obligated.
Right.
In bedikas chametz, and the person who owns the house is off the hook.
Yeah, no, so you have to look into the exact details. It depends when you're renting the house. Because let's say you're renting the house and Sefiras is Tanya, but let's say you rent it after the obligation already kicks in.
So if the obligation
has already kicked in, uh-huh, and you haven't performed the mitzvah, then maybe the renter shouldn't be obligated. So there's a whole discussion about this, whether Nechalei Le'enesh Lavin Mitzvah B'Mamoneh holds true la halacha or not. Ayin Shom.
Because chametz is only as the rabbanan, right?
Yeah.
Because with midrasha, you can just be mevatel.
Right.
So chametz, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So
So, but it sounds like you're saying that a person would like to perform a mitzvah derabanan with their money, but not a mitzvah deraisa. But shouldn't it be the opposite?
No, I'm saying, you could be also the mitzvah, deraisa, but here, if the guy wants to be also the derabanan, so he's willing to go the extra effort. Which he's not obligated to.
Right, but in our context, let's assume that learning Torah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And here the person who owns the Sefer Torah is not willing to let you use his money to perform a mitzvah. So it does seem like there is a difference in the level of the mitzvah, but it sounds like we're saying to perform the derabanan and to go the extra mile there, a person would be willing to spend their own money, but to perform a biblical commandment, they're not going
to
be willing.
Learn from your
friend Torah. Who says
you have to
learn
from this Torah? But you don't comment. So you only the Rabbanan. It's only this house.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I hear.
So
you're not. Yeah. So a whole discussion whether we assume this concept of Nechalei Lenech Lavei Mitzvah Mamone, whether or not, Ayin Sham, for further discussion. Continues the Gemara, Potcho V'Korobo, the Braisa had said that you can open up the Sefer Torah and read it, Pshita, Ve'el Mai Shaila Mineh. It's obvious that you're allowed to open up the Sefer Torah and read it, because we're talking about a Sefer Torah that you borrowed. And why else would you have borrowed the Sefer Torah if not to read from it? So says the Gemara, Sefer Tzrichalei, this statement that you're allowed to open the Sefer Torah and read from it was needed for the continuation of the Braisa, which says, V'vad Shelo Yilmod Bo Betchila. That you're not allowed to learn from the Torah initially. You can't learn something new. So that's the reason that we specify that you're allowed to open it and read from it, is so that we could clarify that you can't learn something new, because that will require the Sefer Torah to be open for too long, and that could be harmful to the Sefer Torah. V'chein ha-mafkid Sefer Torah etzel chavero, golelo kol shneimasar chodesh. And also related is that if somebody gives a Sefer Torah to his friend, you should read it, open it every 12 months. And we assume potcho v'korobo. We assume that you can open it and read it. And ask the Gemara, my avidte gabe. Again, of course, you're allowed to open it and read it. Why else would you have the Sefer Torah deposited by you? V'tu, in b'shvilo patcho aser, ha'amarta potcho v'korobo. The Braisa then goes on to say, if you open it for yourself, that would be prohibited. But how could you say that? You just told me that you're allowed to open the Sefer Torah and read it. So answers the Gemara, hachi kamar. Im kshu golo potcho v'korobo mutter. What the Braisa meant to say was, if when you're rolling the Sefer Torah, you open it and you read from it, that would be permitted. But in Bishvilo Patcho Aser, if you opened it solely for yourself, not for the purpose of rolling it and maintaining the Sefer Torah like you're required to, then it would be Aser to open the Sefer Torah and read from it. Now, how often should you do this? So Sumchus Omer B'chadash Shloshim Yom B'yashan Shnei Masar Chodesh. As we saw in the Braisa, Sumchus said, by a new Sefer Torah, you should roll it every 30 days. By an old Sefer Torah, you should roll it every 12 months. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Echadzev Echadzev Shnei Masar Chodesh. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that whether it's a new or old Sefer Torah, you should roll it every 12 months. So ask Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hainu Tainakama. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says you should roll it every 12 months, seems to be exactly like the Tana Kama, the first Tana in the Braisa, which told us that you should open and roll the Sefer Torah every 12 months. So answers the Gemara, Ela Ema, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Echadzeh ve'echadzeh, Shloshim Yom. Says the Gemara, we have to amend Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and say that he really meant to say that whether it's a new Sefer Torah or an old Sefer Torah, you would have to roll it every 30 days, not every 12 months. So now all the Tanaim are different. The Tana Kama, the first Tana, assumes every Sefer Torah is every 12 months. Sumchus says if it's new, 30 days, and if it's old, then every 12 months. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says whether it's new or old, it's going to be only every 30 days. And Rashi points out that that's like the Tana of our Mishnah. We're talking here about the Tanaim of the Braisa, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would also now be like the Tana in the Mishnah, who said regardless of whether it's a new Sefer Torah or an old Sefer Torah, you should roll it every 30 days. The Braisa also said, actually, maybe this is referring to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said you shouldn't learn something new in the Sefer Torah, but you also should not have someone read with you. So ask Gemara Uriminu, lo yikra parsha v'yishna, but lo yikra bo parsha v'yitargem. You shouldn't read a parsha and repeat it or teach about it. You also shouldn't read a parsha and translate it. Velo yiftach bo yoter migimul dapim. You also shouldn't open the Sefer Torah more than three columns. Velo yikru bo shlosh bnei adam bekrach echad. And also says this in Reminhu, you shouldn't have three people reading from a single volume, a single Sefer Torah or a single Sefer of Nevi'im Ksuvim, if we had one. So the Gemara infers from this Braisa. The Braisa said only, the Reminhu said only, that three people shouldn't read. Hashnayim korin. But you can infer from that two people would be permitted to read. So which is it? The Mishnah says two people should not read. This Reminhu seems to indicate that two people could read. So Amar Abaye, lo kasha, kan binyan echad, kan bishnei inyanim. Says Abaye, it depends. If they're reading two different inyanim, two different topics, then two people could read, because we assume that they're less likely to be pulling on the Sefer Torah, because they're both trying to see different areas of the Sefer Torah. They're reading two different things. That's less likely to be harmful to the Sefer Torah. But if they're reading one inyan, then they're more likely to struggle to see exactly what they're both looking at, and then two people would be a problem, like the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah had also said, Matzah ktus menara echad l'shloshim yom. If you find a garment, you should shake it out, spread it out every 30 days. So ask the Gemara, the Memra Denir Malila, is that to suggest that shaking out the garment is beneficial for the garment? The Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishi Yeshlo Gardium and Betoch Beito, Yenayar Ksuso Bechoyom. Rabbi Yochanan taught us this statement where he said, if a person has a professional weaver in their house who can make them new garments, then they should shake out their garments every day. And what Rabbi Yochanan was trying to teach us is that shaking your garments is bad for the garment. That's why only if you have a professional weaver who can make you a new garment all the time, then you should shake out the garment every day. You don't have to worry about the deterioration of the garment because you have somebody who's able to replace the garment all the time. But in general, it sounds like shaking out the garment is bad. So which is it? Is it good like the Mishnah seems to indicate, or is it bad like Rabbi Yochanan seems to indicate? So answers the Gemara, Amri, b'chol yom kashila, to shake it out every day would be harmful for the garment, but echa b'shloshim yom malila, to do it just once in every 30 days, like the Mishnah requires, would be beneficial for the garment. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, iba yisema lo kashia ha-bechad v'ha-betray. Alternatively, you could say the difference is whether you have one person doing it or two people doing it. If two people are doing it, that could be harmful for the garment because then it could get stretched out or torn. But if only one person is doing it, then it's beneficial. Iba yisema lo kashia ha-biyada v'ha-bechotra. Alternatively, it depends whether you're doing it with your hand or with a stick. With your hand, it's assumed to be more gentle. We don't have to worry about something bad happening. But if you use a stick, then potentially something bad could happen to the garment. Iba yisema, another answer, lokashia habidimra habidikitna. It depends if it's a wool garment or a linen garment. A wool garment is more durable, and then shaking it out would be okay. But if it's a linen garment, it's thinner, and it's more likely to rip, and it would not be good. Now, another statement that Rabbi Yochanan made about things you should do, you should not do, based on the statement that you should not shake out your garment, that it would be bad for your garment, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kasa de chershin velo kasa de poshrin. Says Rabbi Yochanan, better to drink a garment, better to drink a cup, that's a cup of witchcraft, a cup of sorcery, than to drink a cup of warm water. Apparently, warm liquid was not beneficial, according to Rabbi Yochanan. But says the Gemara, velo amron ele b'klei matchot, the whole problem of drinking warm water is only if you're using a metal vessel, about the klicheres late lanba. If it's an earthenware vessel, there'd be nothing wrong with it. The klematcho nami lo amran elo de lo tzavitz about the tzavitz late lanba. Even if it's a metal vessel, it would only be harmful if it's not boiling. But if it's boiling, then you don't have to worry about the warm water. Lo amran elo de lo shada beit sivya about shada beit sivya late lanba. Also, it would only be harmful if there are no spices in the water, in the warm water, to change up the state of the water. But if there are spices in the water, then there would be no problem with that. And Rabbi Yochanan just has a couple more statements about Derech Eretz. Maybe we'll try to conclude in just 1 minute. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishehniach lo avos mos harbe berotz la'abdan, if someone has a lot of money that they're trying to get rid of, yilbash bigdei pishtan, v'yishtamesh b'klich zkuches, v'yiskor po'alim ba'al yeshev imayim. Three things which are not beneficial for your money and will cause your money to deteriorate very quickly. You should wear linen garments, you should use glass vessels, and you should hire workers, and you should not sit near them. And explains the Gemara how all these three things work to lose your money. Yobash b'klei pishtan b'kitna rumisa. You should wear linen garments. That's referring to a specific type of Roman linen, which was very expensive and also could rip very easily. V'yishtamesh b'klei zchuches b'zugita chibarta. When we refer to using glass vessels, we're referring to this special type of white glass, which again was very expensive and also very breakable. So it's likely to waste away all your money. V'yiskor polim ba'al yeshev imayim terguma b'torei d'nafish psidayu. And what does it mean to hire workers and not sit with them? Rashi basically explains that what we're talking about is workers who use oxen, specifically in the grape harvest. You have oxen in the grape harvest, they're going to end up stepping on all the grapes and wasting away all your grapes. And if you're not there to watch them, they're not going to be careful. They're not going to try to avoid this harmful conduct. And thus, these would be three things you would want to avoid if you want to hold on to your money, but you would want to pursue if you're trying to get rid of your money. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Yashikaya.
Go ahead. Thank you.